Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, happy start of the football season. Welcome to OutSports Podcast. I'm Jim with Sid, and summer still has 2 weeks to go, but in the U.S., once Labor Day comes, it's sort of the official end of summer, and it also means the start of the football season. And Sid got his referee gear on and doing the podcast in stripes. Sid?
Well, still basking in the glow of Fire Island last weekend. It was so funny being in New York. I mean, Labor Day was Monday, and there was a storm was coming, and so some people fled, and Sunday, was just a crazy fun day out on Fire Island, and Monday there were still people out there, and Tuesday it was as though summer shut the switch off and autumn turned the switch on. The breeze picked up, the temperature dropped, everyone evacuated. It was like, what just happened? I hadn't experienced such a stark contrast between summer and autumn since I've been on the East Coast. It was so funny.
Yeah, I always found that odd that even though there's still several weeks left the summer, that people's mindset is, okay, summer's over, and so the following weekend you can probably walk on Fire Island and probably have the smallest crowd you'd see until the next summer. I mean, the same thing with a lot of other resorts. It's kind of odd to me because school starts a lot of times now in August. I know school's not a big factor on Fire Island, but it's an odd thing that Labor Day psychologically has this, okay, summer's over feel.
Yeah, well, and again, it definitely was that, but for us, fall starts today with the start of the NFL season, and it's going to be so interesting tonight to watch the Panthers and the Broncos after what happened in the Super Bowl, and to see what Cam Newton and the Panthers can do against that defense, and see what that Manningless offense can do against the Panthers. Autumn is football season.
Yeah, I run one of those suicide pools where you have to pick the loser. And historically, if you pick the Thursday night visiting team, I think 11 of the last 12 years you would have stayed alive in the pool. This year is the first time I'm not touching it because I have no idea what's going to happen with the Broncos. Went from a Hall of Fame quarterback, Peyton Manning, to a guy who has taken one snap in the NFL, and that was a kneel down. I mean, this is pretty historic. The first time in history a defending champion is going to start the season with the guy who has never thrown a pass in the league. And he's not a rookie. So it's a really sort of bizarre, I have no idea what to expect of this Trevor Siemian. I've watched him in preseason a little bit, and he looked kind of like, sort of like some good passes, some not so good passes. But it's going to be fascinating. And so, I mean, it's one of those games that is a better I just wouldn't touch because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, I have Cam Newton and Jonathan Stewart on my fantasy football team, and I'm trying to decide if do I really want to go that route or do I want to bench Jonathan Stewart? Do I really want to have half of the Panthers' offense? I'm not sure. I might make a last-minute switch here.
That's tough. I have Emmanuel Sanders in one league and Demaryius Thomas in the other, and it's like, do I even play either guy? Because I have no idea if this guy will be able to complete a pass longer than 10 yards. So it's going to be – we'll talk about the season. We'll do our season preview a little bit, but we wanted to kind of shift gears and get – well, sort of an NFL-related story began in the NFL, and that has been the whole – national anthem, I guess you want to call it a controversy, that Colin Kaepernick started when he sat during one preseason game for the anthem out of protest the way he thought minorities were being treated, and then knelt at the second preseason game. And we had one podcast since it happened. We hadn't talked much about it because it didn't have an obvious gay angle. Well, that angle kind of happened this week when Megan Rapinoe, the U.S. women's soccer team player who plays for the Seattle Reign of the National Women's Soccer League, she took a knee in a game in Chicago on Sunday in support of Kaepernick. And she is the first white athlete to do anything like this publicly. But what was interesting about Megan was she referenced the fact of her being gay as one of the factors that sort of led to that. So I wanted to know, I know you've been out on Fire Island, but you probably had heard what happened. I'm curious to see what your reaction was to what Megan did.
Well, the whole issue is, it feels like the whole thing has kind of been, the conversations around it are just totally, blurred. Like, first of all, you know, the first people start talking about, you know, does Colin Kaepernick have a right? And of course, all these people have a right to do whatever the heck they want. You know, it's a legal right to do it, and the NFL doesn't have a, and I don't think the National Women's Soccer League has a clause in their player conduct that says you have to stand for the national anthem, you have to do extra in the national anthem. So, you know, the idea of they have the right to do this. Of course, they have the right to do this, and I think everybody should support their right to do it. But you know, for me, the question is it actually impacting? Like, is it actually helping generate conversation about the issues that they claim they're trying to bring attention to? Because all I see is conversation about kneeling for a national anthem and not what the reasons that for doing it, that is the mistreatment of black people and the mistreatment of gay people and in our culture. And so I'm not sure that it's actually having any real positive impact other than, you know, everybody now knows Colin Kaepernick's name and everybody now knows, well, everybody knew Megan Rapinoe's name before anyway, but I'm struggling to figure out to see where it's actually helping anything.
Well, that's a good point, and I think what it's done more than anything else is to get people focused on the national anthem itself and what it means to be patriotic. And, you know, last night in Washington, the Rapinoe's team was playing in Washington, and the owner there played the national anthem while both teams were in the locker room because he didn't want Megan to hijack it. And I thought, well, this guy, I thought, actually disrespected the national anthem, even though he said it was Megan that was, because he did not allow the players who wanted to stand or show whatever support they did to kind of recognize it. I mean, they're all sitting in the locker room, and all of a sudden they hear the Star Spangled Banner coming over. So I think the effect has been more of a discussion of what the national anthem means or its relevance than it is about the issue. And I think the issues got blurred with Kaepernick and the issues of race and the issues of, you know, he's an entitled millionaire, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, I did think, though, that what you said about being gay was interesting because, you know, I think we still don't have our full civil rights, and yet, you know, I always stood for the national anthem just out of a certain sense of respect, but not because I felt overly patriotic about it at a sporting event. I mean, why don't they play the national anthem before movies or before concerts or before the
opera?
I had the same thing. Like, think about it. It's an entertainment. What is it about sports that we think we – It's institutionalized. If an owner decided I'm not playing the national anthem before my game, he would be probably severely fined by his league. And I think the NBA, some leagues actually mandated. But can you explain to me why a sporting event is worthy where it isn't at, say, the right before Star Wars?
I was actually thinking the same thing before all this happened at the first high school game that I did. A couple of weeks ago, I was just kind of standing there looking around, and in my head, you know, I'm processing where I got to be for the kickoff and the coin toss and everything else. And I was like, why are we doing this? Like, very few people are looking at the flag. I have no good answer. And it's funny, I was looking at the high school rules for football, and nothing in there that even mentions the national anthem. So,
oh, really?
I forgot to look at the NCAA rule book. I'll dig into that. I know that the NFL, it's either in their rules or their standing operating procedure, talks about the national anthem, what players should do, where they should stand during the national anthem. But I have no idea why they do that. Why did TV stations used to play the national anthem at midnight and they don't anymore?
Well, in the NHL, you're allowed to play God Bless America or the national anthem, and that's because of the Philadelphia Flyers. In the 70s, Kate Smith, I don't know if you remember Kate Smith, she was that big, very large woman, and she was a Flyers fan, and she started singing God Bless America before a Flyers game, and they went on this incredible run and won the Stanley Cup. So she was like their good luck charm. So they got permission to play God Bless America instead of the national anthem. So, and then you look at the history, and it was first played at a baseball game in 1918, right either during the end of, right before World War One, I think, ended, because it ended in November. And it was such a big hit with the fans because apparently they had a hard time selling tickets to that World Series, which is hard to believe. And so it became this thing of almost like a promotional thing. Hey, we'll play the Star Spangled Banner. So it became one of those things that we now take for granted. But when you look back, we don't do it before any other entertainment activities. You know, you don't go to the theater and all of a sudden expect the national anthem to play. So it has an odd thing that has become so institutionalized that if you didn't do it, it would be an issue in and of itself.
Yeah.
So I think the more of the discussion is less about, you know, the whole issue of how minorities are treated and more about the song itself, the lyrics. Francis Scott Key was a slave owner. I mean, there's all these things people have learned about the national anthem since Kaepernick, but like you said, it has little to do with the actual subject that he's discussed. And I think ESPN's going to show the national anthem before the Niners-Rams game this coming Monday night, which they were not going to show, and so now they're showing it because it's, in their mind, a news story.
Yeah. Well, you know what was it? What are the talking about? Where don't see you. I was on Fire Island. You know, if in case you don't know, the Pines and Fire Island is a very gay town. It's probably 90% gay men during the summer. And I was at the dance club at about 9:30, kind of after afternoon drinks and before dinner. It's kind of a tradition. People go to this one club and dance, and it was absolutely packed Saturday at whatever it was, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And in the middle of dancing, in the middle of all these dance remixes of all these songs, the DJ stops the music and plays the national anthem, which I have never seen before or dreamt of seeing. And I was shocked how many people, and I don't know if it was half or two-thirds, but that was ballpark, were either singing along with it or standing there at attention with their hand over their heart. And I thought that was pretty cool, that the song did mean something to these people on this quasi-national holiday. And in the middle of dancing and probably drunk off their tits, they honored America. So I, on the flip side of it, I thought that was kind of neat to see on Saturday. And of course, I put it on Twitter, and people accused me of being a privileged white man and rich and all that, and oppressing other people. But I thought it was pretty neat.
Well, all that's true about you, but let's say, but the thing about that is that was spontaneous.
Being gay is my
privilege. The thing about the sporting events is it seems like it's so routine now that, I mean, you go to a sporting event and people, you know, they're half paying attention. Some are singing. Some are looking around. Some people have their hats on. Some people have gone, you know, use that excuse to kind of discreetly duck to the restroom. So I think in your case, it happened because it was something that seemed organic. I mean, during the Olympic pole vault, American pole vaulter who's in the military, was starting to run down the runway with his pole when the national anthem started playing for a medalist, and he literally stopped in the middle of this thing and went and stood at attention, because I think in the military you're supposed to do that. And so that was a cool moment because it was so spontaneous. But I just think the idea of playing at every sporting event, high school, college, pro, just in some ways leeches the meaning out. And in a weird sense, you can say that Kaepernick did everybody a favor by making people reexamine it. So people want to sing more lustily because of him. Well, in a sense, he's probably done something that people thought wouldn't be possible, that he got people to actually think about this song that we probably haven't thought about probably in years.
And that was my column last week, that he actually brought meaning back to it. I personally...
Yeah.
Don't like what he did. I think it was, I don't know, it was kind of, I just don't see the real meaning behind it. It brought more attention to him than the issue. It just seems just a little distasteful. I don't really care. I don't, he can do it or not. I don't really care. I'm not going to buy a jersey or not buy a jersey, whether he does it or not. But it did, I tell you, the few days later when they played the national anthem at that football game, I stood there and I looked at the flag and I really thought about it for the first time in a long, long time. So, yeah, absolutely, certainly brought a conversation about the national anthem. I don't know if we really needed that, but he certainly did it.
Well, interesting. He's sold more jerseys in the last week than he had his in the combined in the whole last year. So it's
well, that's not saying much. He sucked the last year.
No, but I'm saying, and you know, and it's interesting is he's the backup quarterback now for the 49ers. So we're not even sure right. He's going to get much playing time this year. But let's segue from the off the field stuff to talk about a little football. There's not been many gay stories we've done. Actually, let's briefly talk about the Paralympics because we have the Paralympics going on in London and in Rio, and we have is it 9 openly LGBT Paralympians this year?
There are 10 that we know of now. We added the Steph Wheeler, who's the coach of USA Women's Basketball, wheelchair basketball. Pointed out that the flag bearer of the United States last night was LGBT, been married to her wife for a couple of years, so we got to add a 10th one a couple of days ago.
And we had, I think it was a flag bearer for Britain, was also LGBT, openly.
Yeah, Lee Pearson, and that's kind of neat that both Great Britain and the United States, athletes of both places voted an LGBT athlete as the flag bearer, and it's pretty remarkable how far we've come. Whether people voted for them because of that or despite that is kind of irrelevant. You know, I think years ago they would have voted against them because of that, and so it's another sign of the times that these literally flag bearers for these countries were LGBT, and to have 10. LGBT Paralympians, you know, they don't get a lot of attention, so there aren't a lot of Paralympians coming out in the media, you know, big public coming out splashes, but the fact that we have 10 of them and a couple more coaches, I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, we had 56 now in the Olympics, so that's, you know, 66 total LGBT athletes who are open about it, at least publicly out, which is almost 3 times what we had from London. So, you know, it's another example. We kind of wrap that up that it's, you know, by Tokyo in 2020, there's simply going to be more because there's going to be more attention on it. So,
it's just a little disappointing that, you know, we can see the readership of different stories that we run. And it's disappointing to see. We've just gotten very little readership on the stuff we've done about the Paralympics this year, and, you know, certainly compared to the Olympics. And it's just, you know, I'm looking forward to watching some of these sports because, frankly, I rarely watch Paralympic sports. And, you know, to look at – I've watched basketball. They are hardcore. I mean, that is not some non-contact sport. It is more physical than basketball is. So, you know, I think do yourself a favor and take a look at some of these sports because, you know, and you shouldn't just look at it as, oh, well, it's basketball, but in a wheelchair. You know, it's actually a different sport and it looks different and it's exciting. And I think you just might find yourself glued to the TV set if you give some of these really neat sports a chance.
Well, and it was interesting. I heard someone mention this. I had never thought of the whole disability thing that, you know, everyone is either gay, straight, black, white, whatever. We're all segmented in that. But the one thing every human being could be at one point is someone who's disabled. And so you see the backstories of so many of these athletes and what they've had to overcome. And just physically playing a sport in a wheelchair or something is like just the arm and shoulder strength to not only propel yourself in a wheelchair normally, but to do it in a sports sense, you really have to be in shape and be an athlete. So I do think that's something that people don't appreciate, and they almost sort of – I think a lot of it is that, you know, the Olympics are over and football's starting. So once football starts, it's like, you know – everyone's attention just gets dropped, but yeah, but it also the TV schedule is not as sort of robust, and so it's not as easy to find as you were able to obviously find the Olympics. But yeah, you should be reading these stories. I mean, it's interesting is these human interest stories are great, but we've discovered that, you know, we know what gets read and doesn't get read, and we're still going to run stuff even if we think it's not going to have a large audience because it always reaches somebody. So, yeah, find the Paralympics. It goes on for, I think it's another, it's 2 weeks, pretty much started on the 7th, and I think it goes through the following, like the weekend of the 23rd or something. So it might be 16
days.
Yeah,
10 days, I think. Yeah, 10 days.
Now, let's switch. Speaking about football, every year we do this, we sort of talk a bit about the NFL, and I have to admit I have less sort of what I call vibe about this year than I can remember. And you think about it, it seems like it is a season of transition. Peyton Manning's gone, so that whole era with him is over. Tom Brady's sitting for four games, so we're going to get a glimpse of the Patriots post-Tom Brady, which is going to happen probably within 2 years. Tony Romo is on the bench, on the shelf again, probably maybe done. You know, who knows if he's going to come back to be a functional quarterback. So you have three of the kind of dominant quarterbacks of the last decade are gone or, you know, or missing for a while. The first time since 97 that neither Brady nor Manning will start, you know, in a given week. Like both of them won't start a given week. You have Minnesota, which looked like it was a Super Bowl contender, losing its quarterback for the season. And so it just seems to me like I'm looking at trying to do this dinner pool we do where you got to pick the whole season. And I'm like, I don't have a good feel because I have no idea how these teams are to go. Do you feel the same way or do you have a good, solid sense?
Jim, I haven't given it a moment of thought. I have absolutely no idea. I mean, you know, obviously.
Well, you have 5 hours to get your picks in.
I have 4.5, I think. Well, obviously, you start with the quarterbacks, and yes, some of them are gone, but then you look at some of them who are still around. Carson Palmer has had injury problems in the past, but he's starting week one. Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers is starting week one. Eli Manning's won a couple of Super Bowls, even though he hasn't looked very good in a couple of seasons. Phillip Rivers and Matt Ryan. You have some of these guys. Drew Brees, you have a lot of guys out there who've been to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers, or you know, at least gone deep into the playoffs. So, sure, there are a bunch of guys who are shelved, but then there are a bunch of guys out there who are starting the season. And, of course, as we know, on their first pass, they could be, they could tear their ACL and be gone. So, I mean, who knows what's going to happen? It's impossible to just possible to really predict the NFL. You can get lucky and get right, but you really don't know what the heck's going to happen because of injuries and suspensions and luck and who knows what else.
Yeah, but in the past you had in the AFC Brady and Manning. I mean, combined they've reached 10 Super Bowls, right? The Patriots have been six,
yeah.
Right? Six and four. Yes, 10 Super Bowls in the last 15 years. So there was always a steady constant that, okay, if you picked one of those, or that person's team would be in the mix. And I think New England's definitely in the mix, but he's gone four games. So I think that's the wild card is that, you know, that era is passing. Drew Brees is getting near the end of his career. Andrew Luck's coming off a shoulder injury. So there's all these sort of question marks that I can't say, if you told me Andrew Luck was 100% healthy, that would tell me something about the Colts, but he sits out practice yesterday with a shoulder injury. That's like, is he back? And so it becomes a thing, is the league going to be a thing where a team like the Broncos could somehow defy predictions and make the playoffs with a quarterback who's never thrown a pass? So that's where I kind of find myself kind of saying, I don't know. I mean, so normally I have a feel about, okay, put the Patriots or the Broncos or the Colts when Manning was there in the AFC championship game. Now it's like, well, I ain't touching. Like, for example, I don't think Denver's making the playoffs this year. I'll give you my bold prediction because I don't think their defense can. You know, a lot of people think, oh, their defense can win 9 games, but I think their defense will take a step back. But, you know, and then you have a team like the Raiders that haven't done anything in 15 years, and a lot of people think they're a threat.
I could certainly tell you a couple of the big question marks that I'm looking forward to being answered. One of them is Robert Griffin III and the Browns offense. And not just RG3, but Josh Gordon's going to come back in a few weeks. And if you remember, when Josh Gordon was healthy, he at times looked like Randy Moss, the most unstoppable person on the field. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what the Browns can put together. And RG3, I mean, I always felt like he wasn't really given a chance in Washington. I mean, his first season, he was rookie of the year or darn close. And then there was injury and personality falling out with a couple of coaches. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what that experiment holds.
And he has a coach in Hugh Jackson who is a great offensive mind and quarterback coach. I'm looking at Houston, which spent a lot of money to sign Brock Osweiler. So it's like, well, did the Broncos know something that Houston didn't by letting the guy go? Because you thought Osweiler would have been the heir apparent to Manning, and he went, I think, 4-2 last year for them and beat the Bengals and beat the Patriots. I mean, you know, which were crucial games for them, and yet they didn't feel strongly enough to sign him to this kind of money. So, and they're going with a guy who hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL. So there's all these sort of kind of wild, or even the Vikings, that I'm curious to see. Is Sam Bradford going to be, you know, this century's version of Jim Plunkett, who was the number one draft pick overall by the Patriots back in the 70s and just got battered and bruised and was, like, awful and kind of literally thrown on the scrap heap, gets picked up by the Raiders and wins two Super Bowls. Well, Sam Bradford has been kind of battered and bruised and injured and has been discarded, now is on his third team as his third time the charm with a guy like North Kerner. So those are two stories I'm looking at, you know, a team like Houston and a team like Minnesota, which, you know, looked like it was on the rise and still might be.
Well, my preseason pick for the Super Bowl last year, to go to the Super Bowl anyway, was the Cardinals, and I know I feel like they just underachieved by not quite getting there, and so I'm also excited to see what they can put together this season. And so much of it, I mean, last year they had injuries, and Carson Palmer's hand was injured for a while. That hindered them. David Johnson obviously really shined when they had a couple of running backs go down. He was all that was left. But yeah, that's a team that if they can just stay healthy, Bruce Arians, I think, is one of the best head coaches in football. So I also looking forward to seeing what Arizona can do. And I listen to all of the teams. I look across. This is one of the seasons I look across all of these teams. And if you told me any one of these teams, maybe except for the 49ers, any one of these teams was in the playoffs, I can't argue. I'm looking at every single one of these teams. I cannot argue. Even the Jets, they have enough there. I can't argue that any one of these teams can't be in the playoffs, except the Niners. That one's tough to buy.
And I would say the Browns with an asterisk, unless Robert Griffin plays like his rookie season. But, I mean, a team like the Raiders, I mean, I've seen some people picking in the AFC Championship game, and, like, that was a sad sack franchise that now looks like it has a clue. And people forget their head coach, Jack Del Rio, that the Jags had their most success in the 2000s under him, where they were the team in the 2007 that gave the Patriots a real fight in the playoffs when the Patriots went unbeaten through the AFC. So, I mean, he's actually a pretty good coach. He coached the Broncos on an interim basis in 2013 and did a great job. So, I mean, kind of funny that you look at a team that you haven't much thought of and like, oh, they might be pretty good. And for us in L.A., we have the Rams back for the first time in 22 years, and the guy they picked as number one draft choice overall is in street clothes for week one.
Well, and, you know, what we keep talking about is the quarterback, right? I mean, the Raiders are suddenly a darling of the prognosticators because they have a quarterback. And you know, if you really look across, I mean, that really is the defining factor of whether a team goes to the playoffs and goes to the playoffs, you know, repeatedly over the course of several years. There's one other team I'll just throw in there that I guess I would be surprised is the Lions. I mean, they lost their best player.
Yeah.
I don't know if they replaced him with much, and that offense struggled even with Calvin Johnson on the field. So, you know, I remember the Patriots getting rid of Randy Moss and getting better on offense because they were more disciplined. I don't know if that's going to happen without Calvin Johnson, but I guess I'd be surprised if the Lions made it there too.
Yeah, so, well, that's, I mean, we're not giving any bold predictions, as neither of us have any bold predictions to really give. And but I'll get Sid's picks for our little pool we have with our group of friends in a few hours, and I'm finishing mine. But football's back, and we'll have a lot to say about that. There's always some gay angle we have during the NFL because stuff will always happen. But that's about all the time we have for now, and we will be back talking to you next week.